First reading to Psalms 140 and 141. Psalm 140, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. To the chief musician, a psalm of David. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man, which imagine mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together for war. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. Adder's poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man who have purposed to overthrow my goings. The proud have hid a snare for me and cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set gins for me. Selah. I said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplications, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation, Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. Grant not, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Further not his wicked device, lest they exalt themselves. Selah. As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and the right of the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks unto thy name. The upright shall dwell in thy presence. Psalm 141, a psalm of David. Lord, I cry unto thee, make haste unto me. Give ear unto my voice when I cry unto thee. Let my prayer be set forth before thee as incense, and the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men that work iniquity, and let me not eat of their dainties. Let the righteous smite me, it shall be a kindness, and let him reprove me. It shall be an excellent oil, which shall not break my head, for yet my prayer shall be in their calamities. When their judges are overthrown in stony places, they shall hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the grave's mouth, as when one cutteth and cleaveth wood upon the earth. But mine eyes are unto thee, O God, the Lord. In thee is my trust. Leave not my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares which they have laid for me, and the gins of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. So in Psalm 140, in the title, we have to the chief musician, a psalm of David. So this tells us the authorship of the psalm, as we've seen before. And to the chief musician, we recognize that many of the psalms have this title, and this speaks to their use in the public worship of God, even from their inception. As we move on to the body of the psalm, first of all, we have David calling upon the Lord for deliverance. Now, David did this often. He had, throughout the course of his life, we might say, perhaps not an easy time of it. From the point at which Samuel anointed him to be king, and shortly thereafter he was pursued by King Saul, after he was settled in his own house and his kingdom was indeed gathered to him, then we remember that he, through his own sin and folly, brought more judgment down upon him, more chastisement down upon him, such that his life was what we might call not very tranquil. The sword abode in his house. In fact, it was near the end of his life that he was caused to rise up out of his weakness and sickness to make sure that Solomon, his son, would be his heir, and he applied all of his strength and regal authority to that end, because there were those who would not have his will done. And so David lived a life of much difficulty, strife, consternation. He was not a man of peace, a man of war, and sometimes that war was very, very close to home. And so David calls upon the Lord for deliverance from the violent man, from the accuser, and from those who are gathered together for war. In other words, those who love to mix it up, those who have no taste for peace, who thrive on argument and strife. I don't know if you noticed, but I noticed a progression in what David speaks of here. First of all, he speaks about the violent man. They imagine mischief in their heart. They're gathered together for war. Then it says they have sharpened their tongues like a serpent. And then, keep me from the hands of the wicked, preserve me from the violent man who purpose to overthrow my goings. So he speaks of those who are his enemies, either outwardly, they would seek to do him violence, that is physical harm, or they would seek to do him soul violence through their words. Both are true here. And so David prays in regard to both kinds of enemies. But then notice also in verse 5, he says that he is asking for deliverance not only from those overt enemies that would speak to him in a way to overthrow his goings or in a more violent physical manner, but those who lay snares for him as well. Not every attack, not every act of violence, not every act of harm that we receive will come as a frontal assault. It will not always come as, you know, Satan doesn't come with a glowing S on his forehead. He's dressed as an angel of light many times. And so there are hidden snares that we must avoid as well. David asks for deliverance for them, and in his asking, we are reminded then of ourselves, that truly we have no strength, no power to deliver ourselves from our enemies that are indeed too strong for us, and that apart from Christ, we would indeed be easy prey. We are told over and again in Scripture these particular truths. So then, notice, Lord, Thou art my God. Hear the voice of my supplication, O Lord, the God of the strength of my salvation. Thou hast covered my head in the day of battle. I hope you hear Ephesians chapter 6 in that. Thou hast covered my head, God of my salvation, in the day of battle. In other words, David is taking up the helmet of salvation in this. And so ought we to as well. It is normally at this point, as we've been through this course in the Psalms several times, that I quote from General Stonewall Jackson, because I believe it a biblical quote, when he says, "My religious belief teaches me to feel as safe in battle as in bed. God has fixed the time for my death. I do not concern myself about that, but to be always ready, no matter when it may overtake me. That is the way all men should live, and then all would be equally brave." So then we remember who covers our head in the day of battle, no matter what the battle is. Then in verses 8 through the end of the psalm, David pleads the justice of the Lord and the damage such a victory would do to all the wicked. And if the wicked are allowed to pursue their course, David pleads from the damage that would be done to the just if they're allowed to continue on. And so David is pleading for all who would follow the Lord, who are under some kind of attack, some kind of threat, some kind of trap or snare from the wicked. And he pleads in this way, "Lord, if thou shouldst let the wicked triumph, what will become of thy people?" And so he appeals to the tender mercy of God that he has for his people. Then he begins a series of imprecations. And as with all imprecations, we leave such outcomes to the Lord. We do not take up the sword of private vengeance. However, we do seek the Lord, that he would set the wicked in their own snares, and that he would vindicate the cause of his people as they follow him. And notice that whenever we hear in the Psalms that the wicked are caught in the snares that they have set, this is God telling us that people are judged for their own sins. This is such a clear, you know, often in the teaching of the Reformed doctrine of predestination, often we hear, oh, well, that makes men mere automatons. That just makes men machines. The Bible does not support that kind of a conclusion. We're always seeing the wicked drawn into the snares that they themselves have set. It is the guilt that they have incurred that is the cause of their judgment. All right, so then, let not an evil speaker be established in the earth. In this we have the importance of words, how they can help or how they can hinder us before our God. So then we are reminded by the word again of the Apostle Paul to let our speech always be seasoned with grace, for evil speakers will not endure upon the face of the earth. Finally then, we see David's confidence in the Lord, that the Lord will do right, he will vindicate his cause and the cause of the righteous. All right, so then in Psalm 141, again, David desires to be heard, but notice that his prayer here is for purity and holiness from the men of the world. He prays for his speech, for his heart, and for his doings, and also for his desires, that in all of these he would be pure. So what is David's desire here? That his prayer would be set forth as incense and lifting up of his hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Incline not my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked words, and let me not eat of their dainties. And so it is indeed the gamut that David runs here. His heart, his speech, his behavior, his affections, all of them are brought under his consideration in this first section. When he asks, let me not eat of their dainties, we are reminded that there are times when the wicked will dress up their sins in festive garb into something delectable. And we must not fall prey to those apparently delectable things. Let me not eat of their dainties, David says. All right, then in verses 5 through 10, notice the desire for David. He puts feet to his desire. He has asked for purity. He's asked for his heart, his hands, and so on, that they be pure like the evening sacrifice, like the lifting up of the hands. And so now he recognizes that there's a way that that takes place. Notice what he says. Let the righteous smite me, and it shall be a kindness. And let him reprove me, and it shall be an excellent oil which shall not break my head, for my prayer shall also be in their calamities. So what does David pray for here? He prays for proper correction from the people of God. David knew what correction was and understood its salutary effects, and so we must do the same. This is a good example. Notice also that David refuses to rejoice in the calamity of his enemy, but he says his prayer shall be heard in that day. He will have sweet words for his enemy. There is no gloating in David, as we see it here. And then notice finally, although put to the worse, David looks to the Lord. The snares from which David desires to be delivered are the snares that he sees the wicked setting in his prayer, that they would be caught in them while he withal escapes. And so he prays that he would not fall prey to those traps, to those snares that the wicked have set. Some of those are, like we heard earlier, the dainties that the world sets before us, right? I mean, let's just think about this for a moment. What did Satan offer the Lord in those three temptations? Well, generally what he offered is he offered the crown without the cross. He offered the dainties without the difficulty. It's what the world offers you as well. The dainties without the difficulty. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. All right, well, there's Psalms 140 and 141. Let's stand and call upon the Lord.